There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, on location from the 2024 Business Expo with the Mobile Chamber. Good to be back here. Do it every year in the next to the Mobile Command Unit. So we bring the van in here, which is a whole other story. Bring the van in here, set it up, and then we set up the radio studio right here in front. So it's always fun to visit with folks and do radio at the same time. Hopefully you get a chance to come out here. I think they're open till 3 o'clock today, and we'll be here doing the show till 2, but be here till 3 o'clock as well. So stop by and say hello. Coming up in just a little bit, Chamber President, CEO of the Chamber, see him walking by. Bradley Burns going to join us. Also, Dale Leash from Lanyap in hour number 2 of the show. And we got a lot to talk about. You heard the Wes Allen clip there that just played, I guess, before the show started. Story that's come out, we talked about it a little bit, what he was looking into. I guess he was on. Secretary of State Wes Allen was on the show with us about 2-3 weeks ago. Now the story out from WPMI. Here's the headline from Andrea Ramey. Says, Alabama Secretary of State discovers thousands of non-citizens registered to vote. So, you know how we hear, like, when they move legislation and they're like, oh, well, there's not really a problem here with illegals voting. Remember that in Congress? They said the Republicans are just moving something here that's just, just to get in the news. Maybe. Maybe not. So we'll get into the story in just a little bit. When you come out, too, we see a lot of folks at this Business Expo we see every year. And I get to also see friends that I see even places not like the Business Expo. It's my man, Joey Mason from Mason Hills Farm, sitting in with me for the first segment. How are you?
Hey, Sean, doing well, man. There's a lot of people here.
Yeah, there's a lot of people here. And, like, I don't know of an event that you're not at. So I say it. Events that I'm at, you're at every one of them.
Yes.
And then I watch your social media and you're at every other event. I'm trying to keep up with you. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because I know you, but somebody who's in the world where you are of getting locally sourced beef and products to people, the fact that you're doing that at events like this, you're doing social media. I mean,
yeah.
It's what happens when this great idea meets with a young person,
right?
I mean, that's what it is.
Well, I just had a birthday, so I'm not as young as I once was.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
Happy birthday. So, no, but it is interesting. And we're talking about the product, and we do that a whole bunch, but I also want to talk about what you do. Since we're at a business expo here, and people are talking about the ways they market and do things, I imagine in the world of the outside of your world here locally, but the people you deal with in the cattle world and all that, the idea that you're social media savvy, that you go to events is different. I mean,
yeah,
right. I mean, I come from cattle farmers. You I can't picture my grandfather or my uncles ever doing.
Yeah,
like you do.
Well, you really have to be social media conscious because you're telling the story of what we're doing here when we're offering farm to table products locally. This is kind of a new concept that we've everybody's been growing cattle here, growing pigs and chickens and those things, but we're really trying to make it easily accessible to the masses.
You know, you and I came together on many discussions here, but one of them was that locally sourced. And back during shutdown, back during COVID, people were like, why can't I get beef? And and producers, we were saying, people were like, oh, you must be killing it, Sullivan. The prices are so high. And I said, no.
Yeah.
The producers weren't killing it. And it was a fact that there were entities that aren't local like you are that were the bottleneck of getting from the producer to the store to the consumer, right? There was a disconnect.
It was that bottleneck. It was that disconnect, and it still we have to move volume We have to move a lot to make this thing work. And we, without the support of your listeners and the support of people in Mobile, we'd be in trouble. So
right.
I'm grateful for the support, but we need more. You know, just need more.
Yeah, and the fact is that two reasons: you get a superior product, and people say, "Well, buy local." Yes, buy local, but it also ensures that, God forbid, the next time stories, monkeypox now, yeah. whatever, who knows? Next time something hits, right?
Yeah,
that we're not so disconnected from getting the food here locally.
That's correct. Yeah, we want to make sure that we kind of shore up mm-hmm. the food supply and the food economic security
right.
of Mobile County.
Because you're doing great quality products in many different packagings. But the core of it is, y'all, Joey makes sure that there's not some entity that's so far away that's in between us and getting our food.
And controlling it.
Right. You do the processing here.
We do.
And a lot of people didn't, I mean, because they don't have to. It's not their job. But they go to the grocery store and they just buy some beef.
That's right.
Or they buy some pork or they buy yep. some chicken. They don't think about that part of it. But you need to, because I think they got woken up to that during the pandemic.
Well, what kind of separates us is we raise them locally, but we also dry age all of our animals so that whenever you get a pound of protein for us, you're getting closer to a pound of protein than if you buy it at the grocery store, right? So they wet age their beef. 28 days, it sits in its own juices and whatnot, but we actually dry age it, so we're removing 1% moisture per day. So at day 14, you've lost 14% moisture. So when you get a pound of ground beef from us, it's not going to shrink. You're not buying water; you're buying edible protein.
Yeah, you mean that effect where you make the hamburger yeah. patty, and you're like, yeah, those are going to be great for everybody.
Yeah.
You come back and they're like half the size of like little
yeah,
puff.
Yeah, yeah.
And not only doing that now, you've expanded. Obviously, you never stop moving. I've known
right.
you long enough now.
Right.
You've expanded to doing so many more things. And when we talk about those products, I also want to talk about the fact that you are now involved in inviting people in to compete.
That's correct.
So talk about the event you have coming up. This is a cooking competition.
It is. It's called Smoke on the Farm, and it'll be October 11th, 12th, and 13th. We have a SEA state competition Friday night. And Saturday, we have a People's Choice Awards, or People's Choice Competition there on Saturday, along with a judged event. We have about $15,000 worth of prize money and different things that we're going to give away just for People's Choice. We have live music. We have vendors. We got sponsors that have really come together. We've raised some money already. We just picked up a $10,000 sponsor yesterday.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool for the VIP tent. And so you really want to show up. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so you got people that are, you know, like, this is their hobby, is mm-hmm. to make fantastic food. But we, as the non-competitors, get to come out and sample those wares.
Yeah, so we'll have our cattle ear tags. We'll get some new ones that have our logo on it, and that's what you vote with. That'll be your voting token.
I like it.
And so, first prize is going to be, you know, like a $4,500 smoker. Second place will be something, and then the it'll be some cash prizes or something else. We got plenty of time. And if, you know, for the listening audience, if you want to be a part of it, you can go to smokeonthefarm.org. You can reach out to me on social media. My name's Joey Mason. Just get a hold of us. We'd love to support what you're doing because you're supporting what we're doing.
And also, a fun part of this, too, is now getting ready to get into football season.
Yes.
If y'all hadn't figured this out, it's right around the corner. Chance for people to win weekly prizes from y'all to throw on the grills.
Yeah, and y'all, you know, really, we really couldn't have done the reach that we have done without 106.5. And so, y'all, we've put together some stuff with Lauren, and we're going to be doing some giveaways here for the next few months, it looks like.
Okay, so we'll give you more details coming up, but weekly, y'all are going to be able to win what we've been talking about, great products from Mason Hills. And I say products, too, because when you first started, you did have several products. When I first
right.
came out there. How many? Do you have a number of how many products are in your line now?
So we have seven different brands underneath the Mason Hill line.
But inside the brands, there's products.
Yeah, like Herschel Burger alone has four different flavors
right.
and four different SKUs, four different packaging. And so it's really starting to pick up some steam here.
Yeah, so if y'all think, okay, well, early on I thought about it for, like, the first tomahawk steak I ever had was
right.
from you. And then they're like, oh, yeah, I know the tomahawk steak, and I know the New York strip, I know these cuts. But there's a whole bunch more. Like, every time I refresh your website, there's more stuff.
Well, and there's even a secret menu that we developed.
How do I not know about the secret menu?
Well, you know now, and now your listening audience knows, too. Like, we have bacon now that is uncured without nitrite so that it's really good. And we smoke it. We have a smoker there at our farm now. We're actually, we just launched a social media campaign that if you sign up with us, you can become a taste tester and we'll send you free product.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like protein? Like
yeah, yeah. Just we just need some honest feedback.
I think
you
I qualify
yeah.
as a pro food tester.
Yeah, yeah, you,
you know,
do.
So
you do.
Send it to me.
I will.
All right. So people want to go to the website. The information for Smoke on the Farm be on the website?
It is, yeah. Okay. MasonHillsFarm.com, SmokeOnTheFarm.org, and then you can always give us a call at 251-865-7748. Follow us on social media. We got a new social media person that's been working for us for a few months, and she is knocking it out of the park.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, I appreciate what you do.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And I can't wait to be a professional tester.
We'll help you out.
All right. Yeah. I'll be on the protein. Yeah, I got a protein deal here. I'm working with Joe.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be really fun.
Good stuff, brother.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
thank
see you
so
around
much.
Here.
Hey, yes, sir.
There he is, Joey Mason, Mason Hills Farm. And we continue our conversation from here at the 2024 Business Expo. We are at the Convention Center, and it is absolutely popping in here. A lot of people here. And it's a great thing to do, even looking business to business. But if you're looking for opportunities, you're looking for vendors out there, they are here today, and they will be here till 3 o'clock today. All right, before we head to the news here, I did want to just quickly read this story that Andrea Ramey put up. And this is, and we'll get Secretary of State Wes Allen back on the show soon. I know he's been on with Jeff recently, but he was on about 3 weeks ago, and he had talked to us about how there was a chance that maybe there was something fishy going on here in Alabama. Well, here's a story from Andrea Ramey. He said, Secretary of State Wes Allen says 3,251 people who are here legally in the country but not U.S. citizens have somehow been able to register to vote in Alabama, which is against law. Remember, we talked about that before when they moved that act in Washington, right? The Republicans moved it. Of course, it died in the Senate, and Biden, of course, would veto it. It was the idea that you got to be a citizen to vote. You got to be a citizen to vote. Not really edgy stuff, I wouldn't think, right? And the pushback on many groups was, hey, this is not really an issue. Yeah, and we can go to the news, but it was not really an issue because nobody was doing this. Well, here just in Alabama, once again, the number coming out, 3,251 non-citizens registered to vote. All right, get your comments on that on the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. And we're coming right back. Midday Mobile live from the Business Expo right here in the Convention Center.
Good morning, I'm Shimani.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We are on location at the Business Expo here at the Mobile Convention Center. I appreciate everybody stopping by and saying hello. There's a lot of fun doing this every year. I also want to check in with my buddy Blaine Price, who if I was figuring out somewhere I would like to like look at the merchandise at a place I worked. It would be at, well, it would be a Parrish Tractor for sure. Blaine, you work in a, place full of toys for sure.
Absolutely. It's always fun. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow here. So,
well, yeah, but you get to look at so much of the equipment. The one, we were talking about this yesterday. The deal y'all have, and think about this, y'all, if you're getting ready to start doing work at the camp or at your house or whatever, y'all got a deal on those L-Series Kubota tractors. I run an L-Series. I love mine. Talk about the deal you have going right now.
Absolutely. So right now we're running a deal. If you buy the tractor with two implements, it can be any two implements, and we have all implements in stock right now. But if you buy two implements, we're going to give you the trailer for free to kind of form that package up right here at the start of looking at the start of hunting season coming up in the near future.
Is that still 0% financing on that?
Yes, all of it still qualifies for zero interest financing, along with all of our skid steers, excavators, side-by-side, and zero-turn lawnmowers all qualify for that zero interest financing right now.
All right, what's inventory looking like in the rental? Because y'all got all kind of stuff from big projects to small projects. How's it looking?
Absolutely. We've got everything in stock in our rental fleets, a little bit of everything for everyone, whether you're doing a small weekend project at the house, if you want to go to the camp and plant deer fields or dove fields, or if you're a commercial guy in the contractor business, we got a little bit of everything. So come by, see us, or give us a call.
All right, Blaine, tell people how to find you.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., or Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon.
Thank you, brother, man. We'll check back soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Somebody was asking me on the text line, which I'm monitoring here, even though I'm not at the station, to see how many of the people that are registered to vote that aren't citizens are in District 2. I don't know. I mean, we'll find. Maybe Secretary of State Wes Allen knows. The story was this. And this goes back to what was pushed. The Republicans in the House pushed this, and I forget what the acronym is. Lord knows they spend more time on acronyms in Washington than they should probably, but the SAFE Act or something like that. I don't know what it was. But it was to say, hey, you got to be a citizen to vote in a federal election. Yeah, you know, how about that? And what a concept. So the story from Andrew Ramey at WPMI says, Secretary of State Wes Allen says 3,251 people who are here legally, right? So they're legally in the country, but are not U.S. citizens, have somehow been able to register to vote in Alabama. And this is what we're talking about. This could be people with a green card. They're here legally. They're working. Whatever. That's fine. Welcome. You know, you do it legally. Welcome to our country. Glad you're here. You don't get to vote. Wes Allen said he requested the Board of Registrars in all 67 counties immediately inactivate those people from their voter files and start the process of removing them. In Mobile County, here we go, there are 394, to the person asking earlier, 394 in Mobile County. Of course, Mobile County now split between District 1 and District 2, so I don't know how many fall in which. In Baldwin County, there are 143 non-citizens registered to vote. Wes Allen says all were issued non-citizen ID numbers by the federal government. He goes on to say if they can prove that they are naturalized citizens, they have to show an Alabama driver's license, a valid Alabama driver's license, or the last four digits of their Social Security number. Seems like the social number would be the most important, right? Allen says finding this information out is not easy. Non-citizen identification numbers are issued by the Department of Homeland Security, but he said the feds wouldn't supply the information. That's what he was talking about when he was on with us last time. He went on to say, we met a roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, red tape bureaucracy, so we had to go a different route, and it's taken a little while to do that. We built this from scratch and really from day one. Allen says they obtained the non-citizen information numbers through the Alabama Department of Labor and the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. He said he's turned over his findings to the Attorney General, and as of a post, I guess, yesterday on X, Attorney General Steve Marshall posted this, quote, be advised, violations of state election laws will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, end quote. So, and there's a lot more to the story we can talk about in the future, but it was interesting to me with the pushback from Democrats in Washington, like how dare the Republicans bring, and listen, both parties will bring bills up, and it happens at a state level, happens at a federal level. They're show bills, right? They're not going to pass. They're doing them for messaging, to fundraise off of, to make a commercial from. But this one, I think, was asking a very fair question. And for the, you know, it's what's the old thing? When you're over the target, you take a lot of flack. Well, when the Republicans were just pushing this, it wasn't going to make it through the Senate, or of course it would be vetoed by President Biden. They started getting a lot of slack, and a lot of people saying, well, this doesn't exist. The Republicans are trying to push something here to protect from something that's not happening. Well, just here in Alabama, once again, let's go back. Just here in Alabama, 3,251 people who are legal, welcome to our country, but you don't get to vote, are registered to vote. This is it. So if it's that way here, what is it in other states? So once again, this is not people, oh, the illegal immigrants. These are legal folks in the country. I got a friend of mine is one of these people, legal to be in the country, but you don't get to vote. You're not a citizen. That's how it works. It's my lament with the census. You know, they use census data on people who are not citizens to apportion representation for districts, which is not the way the founders wanted this. So there, good work, Secretary Wes Allen, and I wonder what it looks like in other states. Coming right back, I may ask this question. He was in Washington for a while as a congressman. He's now CEO of the Mobile Chamber. Bradley Byrne joins us coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, and we are on location at the Mobile Convention Center for the Mobile Chambers Business Expo 2024. And I look up and I see the congressman and also the CEO and president of the Mobile Chamber, Bradley Barn. Good to see you.
Sean, it's great to be back.
Good to have you back. It's been too long. I want to, like, there's lots to talk about with what's going on here today, but this story, I don't know if you followed it. Secretary of State Wes Allen came in on my show two, 3 weeks ago. He said, I'm looking for people that are legally here, but not citizens, so they don't get to vote.
Right.
And at that same time, and y'all, I remember the acronym now, it's the SAVE Act that Republicans had in the House, and, you know, they got a lot of flack for it. You know, that, oh, it's just a messaging bill. There's nothing to this. There's not people that are registered to vote in federal elections that aren't citizens. And so, you know what? You get a lot of flack when you're over the target. So the secretary said, I'm looking at it. I'm having trouble getting the information. Some Byzantine thing in Washington. You probably understand why he couldn't get the info. He finally got it. The story here, Secretary of State says 3,251 people in Alabama are here legally, but non-citizens are registered to vote. Federal elections.
Okay, that sounds like that wouldn't make a difference, but in a close congressional race like CD2,
yeah,
that can make a difference.
Well, and it's just, I'm that rule of law person. It should be zero.
Well, I agree.
If it's 3,251 in Alabama, what is it in another state?
Well, what I'm saying is, it's not an academic thing. It could make the real difference in the outcome of an election.
Sure. Yeah, I'm stuck in the idealism. You're in the pragmatism. But on both sides, this is...
It's bad.
Yeah, the numbers now, they broke down that 394 of those people were in Mobile County, 143 in Baldwin County. I don't know the split because of the, you know, people saying, well, how many are in AL2? I don't know, because they just said Mobile. I don't know how the split is. But it is something that, like, he took flack. Republicans in the House took flack. Like, y'all are wasting everybody's time. This is an insignificant. This doesn't happen. Y'all are, you know, making a mountain out of a molehill. This not here in Alabama. Here's the numbers. Finally, 3,251. They're legal. They're here for whatever reason, legally. But they're registered to vote in a federal election. Am I missing something?
No, you're not missing anything. This is the typical thing for the people on the left. They've got this radical agenda of bringing people into this country who shouldn't be here, registering to vote so that they can get them to vote for them. And it's, you know, it's a real issue. When the people in Washington say, oh, this is not a real issue, that's when you need to pay attention.
Right.
It's a real issue.
Because I did wonder, when all the flack was coming up from people saying, well, the SAVE Act is wasting time, these things. Listen, sometimes there's messaging bills, Lord knows you know, that come through that have no chance of going anywhere. But I said, this one seems to get a really visceral reaction from the left. I said, so right. I think there's some smoke here. And just to see those numbers that came out, I do, and people have been asking on the text line, I don't know how the mechanics, how that happens, how you get, and he's saying these are legal, so they're green card or whatever, here working. How does that person then, they could get on the federal election rolls, and nobody says, you don't have a social, you don't have a, you know.
Well, I don't know what they're doing in terms of registering people these days, but you should be able to require people to prove that they are a citizen before you put them on the roll. It should be able to do that.
I mean, I'm back on my idealistic stump here and saying that seems pretty simple. I mean, it was my lament during the census, and I get why you would, in the census, find out how many people are in an area for different reasons, but not to apportion representation. You have to be a citizen to be represented in our system.
Oh, I went to get my star ID. Mm-hmm. Man, I thought I was going to have to, you know, I got my picture when I was born or something to get the thing. So we should be able to require people to give us enough identification that we can be assured that they are American citizens.
It seems like, yeah.
Yeah.
So there we go. So all the, you know, when y'all got all the pushback out there that this was a non-thing, go look at that story. I'll put it up on the Twitter feed here shortly. All right. Thanks for having us back out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's going on here today other than a packed house.
200 exhibitors, well over 1,000 people. We can't keep up with how many people are coming in. It seems to me, based upon just my, you know, looking at the crowd from last year, it's bigger than last year. Had good weather, that probably helps, but getting lots of good feedback from the people here today, so very successful event, and we're here until 3?
Who comes here? I mean, obviously, I see a lot of the same people, I see new people, but who, like, the people walking here, are these business-to-business, people looking for opportunity? I mean, who's here?
Everybody. So you've got people who are trying to sell whatever it is that they do or make, and then you have people here looking for opportunities and where the stuff that's exhibited here could interplay with what they're doing. So everybody is networking for their own reason, but everybody's networking with something in mind in terms of how they're going to make money.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, it's the reason you unlock the door.
Right.
But nice thing about it is like the boat show. I tell folks, you could spend a week going to every boat dealership and look at the boats, or you can come one place and they're all the same thing kind of here. You're looking for people that do these different business-to-business opportunities that you can walk down the aisle and...
Oh, well, we've got people that are in here who've been coming for years, and they know what this does for their business. They're grateful for the opportunity. We just love putting it on. This is a big part of our year. A lot of staff time goes into this, a lot of staff time. I don't know how many people we've got here right now, but at least half of our staff are in this room.
Well, yeah, it's been all hands on deck.
It is all hands on deck, but it's a fun all hands on deck. We'll be exhausted at the end of the day, but it's fun, and when it's this successful, it makes it worthwhile.
And like he said, it's open until 3 today, so still time to get down here. If people show up, I mean, just we parked right across the street and walked over. I guess that's the easiest thing to do right now on parking.
The parking lot underneath the convention center is full. The one outside to the south is full. So you have to go on the Riverview parking deck and walk over. I parked on the 5th floor on the parking deck.
Yeah, Dalton and I were. I said the next one up, we're going to be seeing sunshine. So there are definitely a lot of people out here. As we're talking about business too, I read an op-ed you had on Yellowhammer News here recently about unions in Alabama. And something you and I have talked about in the past, but you talk specifically and in general about unions. Your perspective about unions and union growth in Alabama.
Well, we sell Alabama as a place that's friendly to business, okay? And we sell it as a right-to-work state. And the unions want a part of the wealth that we're creating here. Now, if this were 50 years ago, maybe I could see the argument a union makes, but tell me what value a union adds to an employee's life that they don't already have. So many laws protect you, you know. It used to be the unions had to argue over safety stuff. We have OSHA now. It used to be the unions, you know, fought on hours. We have the wage and hour law now. I mean, there's almost nothing that they can provide you don't already have. But here's one thing that they can do. They can take you out on strike against your will. And in Alabama, you lose your pay and your benefits, and you are not entitled to unemployment compensation. Yeah, they can do that to you without you having to give them permission.
You write in that op-ed, y'all can check out at Yellowhammer News, that also they are used from a federal perspective, trying to boot, using the strength of the unions to move things that are more Washington-based, whether somebody's going to be EV or they're going to do these, right? They use that to the political contacts from Washington are using the unions.
Of course.
Give examples.
Well, the unions are huge contributors to federal campaigns, almost all on the Democratic side. They also provide a lot of manpower, but they throw their weight around in Washington. So the Sean Fain guy that runs the UAW, he's been really throwing his weight around. And if you look at what he's been saying recently, he's been really going after President Trump. So, you know, I see the unions for what they are. They're mainly a political action unit. They can't really bring any real benefits to their members. And all they could do is hurt the economic development environment we've got now in Mobile and the rest of Alabama. So we're very much opposed to them. We're going to do what we can to keep them out.
Yeah, but do you think that the average worker in Alabama right now in a right-to-work and non-union shop, and then you come in and put a union in, you mentioned the other things, but is their take-home pay better? Is it going to be, you know, overall?
The National Labor Relations Board has said that in collective bargaining, an employee's pay can go up, it can stay the same, or it can go down. There's absolutely no guarantee you're going to get increase in pay.
It can be anything.
That's right. And that's a quote from the National Labor Relations Board. So when the unions come in and say, oh, we're going to bargain up, well, they can bargain all they want, but if the employer says, I can't go up because that will drive my costs to the point where I'm no longer competitive, then no good. Doesn't work. The only leverage they've gotten at that point in time, the union, is to take you out on strike. And they don't want to talk to you about strikes because they don't want you to know all the bad things that happen.
And is that different when you're talking about the fact that there's no unemployment or all that on strike? Is that different in Alabama than New York or somewhere like that?
Well, in many places, you lose your pay. That's just a thing with the employer. Different states will allow you to get unemployment compensation. But in Alabama and most southern states, when you go out and strike, you lose your pay and you don't get unemployment compensation. And you lose your benefits. You lose your health insurance.
So, and talk about this, the number of workers. You've been on with me over the years talking about how many workers were needed in this area, how behind, you know, that people were coming in here because we were 1,000 or whatever jobs that were unfilled, right? You had, I mean, you had need for workers that wasn't here. Then I look at labor participation in the state. So, I mean, you can look at the overall unemployment numbers and say, okay, it's good, but how many people are choosing that are able-bodied that are choosing not to work? Is that what you're trying to change? Are those people are sitting on the sidelines? So why are they sitting on the sidelines?
Well, we have a state study that says in Alabama, the number one reason why an able-bodied person is not working is because they don't have the means to get to and from work. They don't have a car.
Okay.
So we started this program in Mobile a few months back called MOGO, and it's like basically a ride-to-work system. You can go online and check it out. You can call them on the telephone. But if you're in that general area of the route, which is mainly the eastern part of the city of Mobile, you can jump on that thing for free if you're going to Austell, Airbus, Bishop State to get your training, AIDT to get your training, et cetera. And it's our hope is we're going to be expanding that up 43, expanding it down Rangeline Road, so that everybody in this area has the means to get to work.
It's transportation.
Gets you to and from work.
So that is, you know, because talking at the state level about the labor participation rate not being good, maybe they hadn't talked about it at the state level. You're doing it here. That is the thing that leads to.
Yes.
Y'all, because y'all look at the numbers. I don't have them right in front of me, but it's like 40% of the people that are working age, able to work, aren't choosing to work. I mean, that's.
I don't know the number. And the other thing that we found out, Sean, as we dug into this, it's amazing what our high school graduates don't know about what's out there. So we heard a story the other day about a young man who was the top welding person in his welding class. And this woman was visiting the class, and the teacher was so proud of him. And this woman looked at him and said, "You already graduated?" He said, "Oh, yeah. What you going to do after graduation?" "Oh, I got a job at Burger King." Now, there's nothing wrong with working for Burger King.
But I
need welders.
Yeah.
I need welders desperately.
Not that anything's wrong with it, but if you're a top welder, let's talk about what you get paid versus working at Burger King.
Well, it's, you know, you make a lot more money. We've got a lot more stuff that we need to have done down here. I mean, we're going to probably have another 2,000 shipyard workers over the next 3 years.
But what's missing there then? Congressman, like, why is the word that you need that many people, and here's whatever, I don't know what the pay rate is for a top welder, but why is that not at a high school? Why does that kid not know that?
Well, but be honest with you, we, the business community, have not done a good job of telling that story. So we, in the last year, have gone to the school system. We've worked with them. They had a job fair this year. The month leading up to that job fair, every kid in technical education in Mobile County spent that month learning about the companies who were going to be at the job fair. They walked in that job fair, and a lot of them got jobs right then. 3,000 students. So if we continue to do that year after year after year, we will get the word out to these young people about the incredible opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, because a kid who, I mean, not just a kid who's in high school, a kid who's his top welder, who's in that kind of trade class, should know.
Why
am I doing this? Oh, here's why I'm doing this. Because when I finish here, I got a dollar figure in my mind that I'm going to be able to go make.
His instructor didn't know. His principal didn't know. So we have dramatically increased our penetration into the school system to let them know. And they are so grateful. They've been so cooperative. I'm just very confident we're going to make that labor force participation rate go up in a big way.
It's significant. I got a couple questions from the text line before we wrap up here. This one from David. Can you ask Representative Byrne if there's anything a Republican presidential administration can do to either force states to do what Secretary Allen just did here with non-citizen voter registration, or in states that do it for them if they refuse to? In other words, like, I guess what Wes Allen did here, can something from a federal level say secretaries of states in the other 49 states go do what Wes Allen did?
Sure, they could do that if they wanted to.
If they wanted to.
Yeah. I think President Trump will want to.
I mean, that is, I mean, you think about our state, 3,000 plus. What must it be?
Oh, think about
in other
Texas.
States? Yes.
My God. Think about California.
And once again, y'all, these are the way the story goes, Wes Allen's saying, it's not that they're elite. These are legally here, working for whatever, you know, good. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. But you're not a citizen,
right?
And you're registered to vote in a federal election. I mean, it's just so ham-fisted to me. I don't like.
So I just got the number. It's 58% labor force participation rate. And I think the national number is something like 64, 65.
So to explain to people what we're talking about, so out of the people, 58% of the people that are of working age could be working. only 58% of them are working out of 100%.
And some of them are not working because their mom's staying at home not raising kids or they're people with disabilities. I mean, I'm not saying that there's no excuse to stay at home, but if you are able-bodied...
Agreed, but that number is so big.
It's too big. Come on, it's too big.
That's not people with, you know, some sort of handicap that keeps them out of the workforce.
No.
That's not 42% of
it's not. And we've got some artificial barriers, like not having a car. We're going to get rid of the artificial barriers, and we're going to get the word out, and we're going to get those people to work. And here's my thing, and I hear this from a lot of people. If after you remove the barriers, after you give them that information, why would I pay you to sit at home?
Yeah.
Why would we give you anything?
All right.
You know, get off the couch and go get a job.
Take away, once you take away that hurdle, you know, then you're right. Yeah, it's good that you said that, though, about transportation, because people may not think about that. They go, they're just not working. Well, why? And y'all have at least asked the question, why?
And the next thing I'll tell you, and this is going to be very difficult, and we'll see how far we get with this. The number two reason why able-bodied adults aren't working is that they're women and they have little kids that don't have any daycare for them.
Okay.
So we've got to figure out how we goose up the number of daycare positions in this area so that at least young moms that want to work can find somewhere to put their children.
Well, here I am coming from, you know, being private sector ideas. If I'm this suite of businesses that says I can't get the people to work, right, I need the people to work, maybe along with government, I contribute somehow to have childcare and have things set up to where I can get those people. Here's my impediment. All right, so how do I help fix
this? Well, there is an effort going on. It's really at the beginning stages to try to increase the childcare tax credit, which will enable mom to have some money to be able to do that. But employers are going to have to get in there and help us find buildings that we can put a daycare in that may be near where their place of employment is. So one of the ideas we've been kicking around is, do we get a daycare started out at Brookley so that any of the aviation workers out there that need daycare would go to that daycare center, and maybe we subsidize a little bit with private money to make sure that it's working right. But it's going to take sort of out-of-the-box thinking to address that sort of problem. My daughter has a 18-month-old. I mean, and you know, she's got to have a quality thing to put him in. It took her forever to find it. This is not here. It's in Virginia Beach. Well, she's got it. She drives a half an hour each way.
Oh, they're waitlisted. I mean, I'm talking to friends of mine that have young kids.
Yeah.
They're waitlisted.
And you don't want to put your kid just anywhere.
Correct.
I understand that.
Correct.
Moms have a responsibility to their children. We need to help them fulfill that responsibility.
Well, I mean, at least in this, we identify a problem. Right? We can't fix a problem until we identify what is causing the problem. And that's what y'all are doing. And that's why transportation and child care.
Right.
Instead of just saying, well, it's just people no, it's good. It's good to say, here are the problems, here are the impediments.
And if we do that, if we do child care right, hopefully that's the sort of positive signal to young women, hey, let's start thinking about having a family. Because we do know we have a problem in America with not enough young women having children. And we've got to give them some positive incentives to do that.
Yeah, look, the average age of the first birth is getting so much later because they've got to establish themselves in a career.
Got to buy a house
Yeah, and they've got to get themselves to be at that level where they're so valuable to a company that they can come back after three months. So this is a change to it. I appreciate you.
Sean, always good to be with you.
Likewise.
Come back next year.
Yeah, we will. We've been out here, I think, 5 years in a row, 4 or 5 years in a row. We'll keep doing it.
And maybe I'll come by and see you sometime soon.
You know where I am.
Okay.
All right. There he is, CEO and president of the Mobile Chamber, Congressman Bradley Byrne, right here on Midday Mobile. And we're coming back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And we are on location at the Mobile Convention Center for the 2024 Business Expo. And let me grab some text here as we have a couple minutes for the news. Let's see here. Unnamed texters aplenty, but this first one here. That is interesting. Over 3,000 illegal voters. Makes me wonder about the story I heard of over 4,000 people over 110 years old voting. Could this be true? Thanks for the reporting, James. And I think the subtlety of what the story from Wes Allen, I keep coming back to it because people like to jump on it and say, oh, it's illegal. It's not illegal immigrants. These are legal people. So people that we have, like Green Card, they're here legally working in the state. Cool. Welcome aboard. I'm not a xenophobe. I mean, can't have a Irish surname and be a xenophobe. I mean, country welcomes people legally, I think, is a great thing. But until you're a citizen, you don't get to vote. I mean, this stuff is so, like, and the fact that there'll be people that, you know, push back on this and say, oh, the Republicans are doing this. And, you know, and I carry water for Republicans on everything, but this one's a slam dunk. This should be nonpartisan. You're a citizen, you get to vote. You're not a citizen, you don't get to vote. Bingo. Supermom says, how do they find these people that were illegally registered to vote? What is that process like? How they know where to look? Supermom, I know that Secretary of State Wes Allen had told me something that came up that got him started on this before, but I don't know. Have to go back maybe to the podcast of that, but I think I need to get him back on the show soon, and we'll ask that question. Let's see. Then we got some more talk about. We'll get to this next hour. Some union talk here, back and forth on the yes or no for unions in Alabama. We'll get to those, and we'll talk to my man Dale Leash from Landyap. He's coming up next right here on Midday Mobile. We are at the Convention Center for the Chamber's Business Expo.